Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the last day of summer. I kind of ended the music as abruptly as summer will end. Okay, 2021, tomorrow's the 21st of September. How about that? All right, so summer's officially over tomorrow. So to make sure your summer stays bright and cheery, I have a show this morning with you, for you, with the NSPRA, the National School Public Relations Association. This will keep you warm at heart and happy, etc., as summer turns to fall. All right, I've got Leslie Brunton here, who is the public relations director over down in Alabama at Tuscaloosa City Schools down there. She's wrapping up her year as president of NSPRA, and I've also got Barb Hunter, our old friend, who is their executive director, and it's NSPRA.org, the National School Public Relations Association. Please go over, check out what we do over at ACE, ACE-ED.org. That's the home website of our Consortium for Equity and Education. Our online journal, Equity and Access, is over there, and you'll enjoy it if you go over, take a look, and thousands of people do, so we hope you do too. We appreciate it for pre-K-12 educators. And we started something new. Go over to seltoday.org, seltoday.org. Social-emotional learning is a big tie-in between social-emotional learning and equity. We wanted to follow up on that. SEL's top of mind. So we kind of separated it out. It's a nice website. We're just getting it started, but it looks pretty darn good, and there's some good stuff over there, seltoday.org. Okay, and ace-ed.org, we're going to archive this show. So without further ado, let me bring on my two friends, warming your heart as summer ends, though I'm sure it's going to be warm for a long time down in Alabama, Leslie and Barb. Hi, Barb. It's Larry here. How you doing?
Good morning, Larry. I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm waiting for I got the snowblower ready now that summer's over, so we live here in Maine. So we're long
ways. Oh, well, we can blow some leaves first before we blow
we
snow.
Got to.
But,
we got to do that. It's good to have you back here, Barb. It really is, as always, the pleasure, as a matter of fact. Okay, NSPRA.org. And Leslie, how are you down there in Tuscaloosa?
I'm good. It's a great day, and I'm ready to be back in the office and start a brand new week.
You got that right. And you know why it's always good to go elephant hunting in down there? Do you know why, Leslie?
Tell me.
Because the Tuscaloosa.
as always,
that joke is about 80 years old. Okay, just want you to know
probably
that.
Practiced that one all weekend.
Yeah, well, it's an old Groucho
moment.
Marx.
So
it's an old Groucho Marx line. Yeah, so
you saving that one for me.
No problem. Uh-huh. It's a pleasure. I like to go elephant hunting in Alabama because the Tuscaloosa. Okay, there you go. All right. Tell that, Leslie. Tell that today. All right.
I'll save that one for my back pocket.
When you need it. Okay, when you need it.
Yes, I will.
All right. All right, Tuscaloosa City Schools. Tell us about Tuscaloosa City Schools. Go ahead, Les. You're the PR director down there.
We are an urban suburban district, so we have a little more than 10,000 students. We serve pre-K through 12. We have 21 different school sites. We're actually in the same city as the University of Alabama, so a lot of our students, you'll see them during the fall supporting the Crimson Tide, and that's kind of life down in Tuscaloosa. So we're dealing with the same issues that everyone else is dealing with across America.
Do they have a football team? Alabama, I don't know. Do they?
They try.
Okay.
They try to pull something together on Saturday afternoons.
They're good. They're good this year. You'll be happy about this. I met my wife at Penn State, and Penn State beat your arch rival Auburn this week. So you should be happy.
Yes. Any time that Alabama wins and Auburn loses is a good day.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask. Alabama's doing all right this year, right? I haven't been following Bama. What's going on with the Tide?
Yeah, we're undefeated, and
there you go.
We do well in the AP rankings.
Yes, you do.
Nice in the front of the season, but what we prefer is being, you know, at the top at the end of the season. So that's
and
what matters.
Perhaps you will be right under Penn State. So that's good. I know as
I do like James. I do like James Franklin. I am a James Franklin fan. Followed
there
him when
go.
He was at Vandy. So yeah.
There you go. There you go. See this? It all works out in the end. This is good, Les. This is good. This is just great. And before I move back to Barb, what's going on? You just said you had the same challenges like every other school district. We're quote still in, but hopefully coming out of the pandemic. Okay, what's going on down in Tuscaloosa? And again, it's a pretty conservative state, so you know there's been all this mask controversy and all that sort of stuff. What's going on down there?
On our school system right now, we are mask required until October the 6th. Our school board reviews it every couple of weeks, so we'll take a look at that situation. You know, there are demands and strains on the healthcare system, as there are in other parts of the country. So we just press on, and we, you know, our primary function, we say, is, you know, keep kids safe. But,
yeah,
you know, the goal of teachers is to make sure that we're educating them. So even in spite of all of this, I'm really proud of my colleagues who are also on the front lines during the pandemic, working hard to make sure that our kids can progress and don't slide back any further.
Yeah, and we don't want them to slide back academically or healthcare-wise. Okay, that's good. That was an excellent report, and I'm glad that things hopefully are shaking out down there and everything's good. Barb, NSPRA, tell us about that, okay? And as executive director, give us from the high perch that you sit on. And the other thing is Leslie's term as president is winding down at the end of September. Have you told her what happens to ex-presidents? Because I've noticed I don't hear from them anymore once they're gone. Is there anything we need to know?
Well,
right.
I think they get a permanent spot on the Larry
right.
Jacobs show. I think they get a permanent spot on the Larry Jacobs show.
They're always
show.
Welcome.
That's
always welcome here.
Right?
She is.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
if she mentions anything about a farm upstate where you're going to be going, don't worry about that, Les. Just go.
Okay. And I will be joining her.
Okay, what's going on at NSPRA?
Yes.
Yeah, let's hear.
Well, listen, Larry, we have just ended a transformative year under Leslie's leadership. With NSPRA, we have done amazing things in the short time that we've worked together, the span of a year. In fact, we laugh, it hasn't been quite a year because I came on board last November, so it's been about 10 months. And we have set the course for the organization through a really comprehensive and well-thought-out strategic plan that will guide us into the future. As part of that plan, we have rebranded NSPRA. We are still the leader in school communication, but our brand assets look very different than before. They're more exciting. They reflect our brand personality, which is responsive and vibrant. And I think our members are really seeing the difference and really resonating with that difference.
Take that a little further. What would be one of the differences, just so people can understand that? That's great.
Well, we have visually we have changed our logo, so that's pretty.
I'm glad I asked because I noticed that. Mm-hmm. I did notice that.
Yes.
Talk about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did notice it.
Yeah. Well, we completed a rather thorough and robust research process led by an outside firm who did this work pro bono, which we're very grateful for. And they talked to or received feedback from more than 300 of our members and potential members. And out of that came results that we got our brand architecture, if you will. And it is our archetype, if you will, as part of the brand architecture is we're servant leaders. And I think that fits very well with what NSPRA does. We certainly are here to serve many stakeholders school districts have, parents, students, employees, and the wider community. So, Yes, and through this process, we discovered our brand personality is responsive and vibrant and connected. And I think that really reflects our community out there of members. And to that end, we're growing, too. We're adding members because I think they see that we're positioned for the future.
Let me make a point. Mm-hmm. There was not schools' health, kids' health, and their learning, obviously, all right, is key. But there was nothing more important than good communications, okay? Good communications, internal and external, over the past 2 years. And if we didn't figure that out by now, okay, we got more problems than we can actually correct. You guys are so much in the catbird seat. Okay, and I'm so glad you took advantage of this because I've been singing your praises for 10 years, okay, with you, Barb, and Rich before you, okay, and all the presidents that have come along the way, and it's about time, okay? I'm thrilled about this. This is great.
Thank you.
I mean it. They finally figured it out, and Leslie was there riding along with you, okay, in the presidential limo. You going to miss that, Les?
Yes, but it probably this year might have been more like a tractor, to be honest. There was a lot of work that we did. It wasn't, you know, I don't know if it was, looking back on it, it probably does sound glamorous, but we worked really hard, and I'm so proud of the board that I got to work with and the partnership I had with Barb. I mean, we made every day count, and the crazy thing is we still have 10 more days, so there's still a little bit more work that we can do.
They're going to work you till the end. They're going to work you till the end, okay? And, it doesn't sound glamorous. It sounds like it was hard work that was done at the right time, and it paid off. That's what it sounds like. And it's going to pay off for a long time.
You know, that's true, but I would like to put a little more on that. It was a labor of love. I mean, we all do this because we care deeply about the organization. We care deeply about the profession. Many of us have made careers in this profession, and what we've learned is that if we don't advocate for ourselves, who will? And so I think what you've seen in the past year under Barb's leadership and through partnership with the board is that our organization is standing up for its members and making itself known as being competent, capable professionals ready to assist school leaders in making tough decisions during this time.
Right. Agreed with everything. And by the way, Barb, I just was thinking, okay, here's a great tagline for you guys. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. ENSPRA inspires.
Yes, we actually have a column in our one of our member newsletters called Inspirations.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, great minds think alike.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it is important. You guys are doing a great job out there. And now looking back, all right. And I'm gonna go to Leslie because she's president. She's gonna be leaving. Okay, at the end of September. Les, looking back, the big takeaways. What did you learn over the last year, all right, and where do you think it's really going to go? Okay, what were the key things?
My
that you
big takeaways,
yeah,
to lead with integrity, to model transparency, and to demonstrate the strategic aspect of the work, to be a model for other practitioners who may have not come to that point in their career. So everything that we did this year with Barb was very strategic in nature. We went through we did all the steps. We did our due diligence before we rolled anything out. And we really want to demonstrate being the leader in school communications. It's not just a tagline for us, but to be something, as you say, inspired, to be aspirational for our members. That this is how they should aspire to work. So leading with integrity and operating transparently and doing our work strategically were the three things that I will be very proud to say were hallmarks under this past year.
And you did a great job with all of that. Let me ask you one other question. We always talk about school communications, and the immediate thing that comes to mind, at least in my opinion, is communications with the community, if I may. All right? But there's another side to it, Les, and I'd like you to talk about this and then Barb, and that's internal communications, especially these crazy days, okay? But it's always been important. But communicating with your staff so that the messaging makes sense to everyone, all right? Talk about that side of it, please.
So I love that you brought that up. You know, in a school system, you have one superintendent, you might have one person working communications, but you have a whole host of teachers and support staff. And those folks really do serve as brand ambassadors for your organization. So by communicating with them first, that is a mark of strategy there. By making sure, one, they're in the loop. Because they are part of the family, you want to make sure they know what's going on and so they don't hear it on the outside, from the outside world, but also in communicating with your internal stakeholders, what you do is you provide them with a little bit of background for information as folks in the community approach them. So whether they're approaching them in the grocery store or the ball field or at their church or synagogue, you know, they will have access to a teacher or support worker, and they will formulate their opinions about the leadership and the decision-making of your school system based on your staff members' interpretation of whatever the big issue du jour is. So it's really important that you do connect with those internal stakeholders who, of course, really are family. These are your coworkers, so why wouldn't you want them to know what's going on?
Well said. Well said. Barb, what are your thoughts on that, internal versus external, et cetera?
Well, I do think And I think this is like one of my mantras when I was in working in a school district is your internal folks are the most credible sources of information about what's happening in the school system because they're in there every day, they're witnessing it. And also students are a big part of that puzzle as well. And I think a lot of times districts tend to overlook students as also key communicators, and we have to reach students where they are, which is generally on social media. You know, there are a few districts I think using TikTok, which is I think the social media of choice for younger kids. But also, you know, we have to meet people where they are in terms of their communication wants.
Makes perfect sense. Right? That's hysterical. And, you know, I think in all the shows that we've done over the course of all this time, I think it's the first time we ever mentioned, all right, reaching the students and making sure they understand what's going on, okay? And I have to ask, is that with the pandemic and the kids being away from school, all right, that must have changed over the last couple of years, Barb?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a real change.
You know,
that's a real change.
Teachers are still the direct connection to students day in and day out. So if we can equip teachers with maybe just one message, right, it doesn't have to be complicated because, you know, students have a lot on their plate and they're interested in a lot of things. But if we can communicate one thing to students about what the district is doing for them and why they are important, I think that will really help to spread that word that it's a caring community of learners.
You just said something that struck me, and I'll ask Leslie this because she's right there in the school district. Les, do you think that students see themselves as part of a school district, or do they see themselves, and I'm thinking back to when I was a kid, you see yourself as a member of the school you're in rather than the school district you're in? All right, but there are district-wide protocols. What's your thoughts on that? It just dawned on me. It's a brilliant thought. It just dawned on me, so I'll ask somebody even brighter than me. What's your thoughts on that?
It's going to depend if you're in a one high school town or not. That makes
all
the difference in the world. It's a little bit different on Friday night if football is your thing or basketball is your thing or hockey is your thing. If everyone in the community is in the same gym or football field, You're all cheering for the same mascot, all wearing the same colors. Talents comes into play when you have different mascots in different high schools across your district. So how do you build community? What typically you see, the positives of school and things that go well, you are excited to connect with your school for that. But when things don't go well, then that becomes a district issue. So if the district has canceled school because of weather or didn't cancel school because of weather or made some sort of policy, profession, whether it's dress code or any other mask or any other policy, you're not really blaming your school. You blame that on the district. So it's as important as it is for school districts to have great relationships with their community, their parents, taxpayers in general in their town, it's just as important for schools to have that as well. They need to have their own relationship with their own families that attend that school. So it's not something you can kind of push off and let the district office handle, particularly if you're in a multi high school district.
How interesting. That's a good answer. I really appreciated that. It's so true. Barb, the biggest wins this year, WINS, okay, for school communicators, well, just generically, nationally, what's going on? What's your take
well,
on that?
I think,
the big
yeah,
wins?
I think you touched – Sure. I think there's one big win for school communicators and our profession is that we have truly demonstrated the value of communications during this ongoing crisis.
Yep.
And I think many of our folks had a seat at the table working with the superintendent and the other leadership team members to chart a path. But I think more school communicators were brought to the table because this was an issue that everybody was trying to figure out. Nobody had a playbook on it. And so it was really important for school communicators to be at the table to advise and counsel, which is a very high-level strategic role that sometimes we don't see because that often goes on behind closed doors. And
yep.
those crucial conversations that happen among leadership team members about really important decisions that are going to impact families and students and the health and welfare of everyone in a school district.
It is so true, and you mentioned we didn't have a playbook for that. Do we have a playbook now?
Well, I'll toss that
one
to Leslie.
Have we figured that out?
Yeah. I'm really happy.
I will say we have a framework.
Ahead.
I wouldn't say we have a playbook. Because it's
mm-hmm.
different in every community, and you have to have boots on the ground to assess what's going on in your community to determine which actions to take. There are going to be some communities that make decisions that other communities won't tolerate, and that's fine. Schools are a reflection of the communities they serve.
They are.
I think that we've all learned a lot through this process. What I've seen through the past year is where we've gotten stronger at creativity and collaboration, sharing. You know, we talk about networking a lot, but not the social aspect of networking, but finding someone you can bend their ear and ask, how is it going in your district? How does it play out? Or if you pay attention to maybe your district is making a similar decision, you can see if that was a good rollout, if it was successful, would it work in your district as well? So, no, there's no playbook. There's still no playbook. But I think there's a really good framework. And I think the base of the framework is operating in a transparent way, so that you don't damage trust with your community.
And, you know, is that the one consistency that we have to all remember, no matter if you're urban, suburban, big, small, whatever kind of district you are, okay, rural, whatever the case may be, okay, is the one thing that we've really taken away, is it that transparency matters? That's come up a couple of times in this conversation.
I think so. I mean, you know, when you look at what's happening in the pandemic right now, you've got more people attuned to decisions being made by government at all levels, boards of education. You know, I've been attending governmental body meetings for 20 years now as a reporter and now doing this. And usually it's, you know, it's the same old folks sitting around the room waiting for the meeting to start and end. So it's been kind of interesting to watch people get dialed into local government at the lowest level, which would be your local school board, and trying to figure out the nuances of how board meetings operate, what kinds of decisions are made, who can make the decisions, and watching them in real time learn that it doesn't operate in the way that they would think, just, you know, rolling in from wherever. And largely I think that has to do with the fact that in the early days of the pandemic, a lot of school boards started putting their board meetings online and live streaming them, which wasn't something that we saw. So you take a live stream meeting plus people who are working from home, sitting around their house, the coffee shop, and have become engaged and activated in this way. Now you're paying attention to it. So I know at one point in time in the summer, I had people sending me text message pictures or sharing on Facebook. They'd hooked up their computer to their TV, and they were sitting around watching school board meetings at their dinner table and eating popcorn. Yep. And it seems so weird, but
yeah, it is.
It's the state we live in.
It's a whole different reality. And, you know, you bring up something interesting, and there have been some school board meetings, you folks are all aware of this, that have gotten really pretty angry. Everybody's gotten angry at each other. Okay, with masks, don't mask, whatever the case may be, and they've been screaming and yelling, the police have been called in, and the work of a school board to actually educate the kids gets lost in the shuffle. They can't even continue these meetings. People are so angry. We have to tamp that down, quite obviously, all right? But that said, and knowing that now we can have, call them Zoom meetings, whatever, you know, big streaming meetings, Les, do you see school board meetings becoming virtual to avoid the infighting that goes on there, the screaming? What do you see for the future?
I think they will continue to be, I think they will be live streamed. I don't know if they will all be virtual. So in our state, we had the governor signed an emergency order that allowed for us to have virtual meetings. It expired. There's been nibbling around the edge of how do you change the law and what does open meetings mean? What does open records mean? People are learning what those things mean. I think having ground rules or norms of operations for school boards and how things are going to happen are very important. And what you generally see is that, you know, school board members are, you know, these are your neighbors. These are folks that maybe own a little business.
We sometimes forget that.
Retired clergy member.
Just want to
do good for schools and kids in their community. I mean, I don't really know of too many school board members that sign up for that job to get rich, because it's not one. I mean, it's a lot of work. And
if they're doing that, they're really a dumb school board member, because they're not going to get rich.
Yeah, you're not going to get rich. But, you know, you're getting a lot of feedback from people. And so it's not – it no longer becomes I'm voting for my district that voted me in. It's like, how do we serve the collective kids in the whole district? So, you know, decorum is still important. And I think when school board members model decorum and their interactions with each other, their interactions with the community, and how they respond to passionate discourse, you know, we don't want to dissuade parents from being involved in the educational process.
Absolutely.
You know, we should make room at the table, you know, regardless of what there are. I'm one of these people that regardless of what a parent is, what their concern of the day or night is, that they took time out of their day to come and voice an opinion about their local school system. So we should grant them a level of respect in doing
that.
We, you know, protect everyone from having, you know, no one should be harassed at a board meeting. That's for sure.
Exactly.
But decorum does help lower the temperature so that their primary point can get out.
Yeah, we do have to lower that temperature. This too shall pass, but it's really something. For next year, Barb Hunter, executive director of NSPRA, Leslie is going to be leaving you. Okay, I think the woman, what's her name, Kathy, something or other, coming on board?
Nicole Kirby will be our incoming president starting October 1.
Where is Nicole Kirby from?
She is from Park Hill School District in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Nicole's coming on board.
So we will get her on your show. Yeah,
absolutely.
We'll get her on your show.
Absolutely.
Hopefully
we'll
the next time
Leslie.
Around.
Yeah, we'll miss
yes.
Leslie. Of
well,
course. Yes.
I will tell you.
But she'll be at that farm upstate. She'll be at that farm upstate. We can call her there.
No,
Leslie,
she can't put me out the pasture.
I'm hanging on to Leslie as she's trying to walk out the door because she's been tasked with a very important project this coming year, and that is to develop a leadership academy for ENSPRA. And that's
nice.
Going to be deeper learning for those seasoned veterans who want to dig deeper into their content knowledge and develop their skills and knowledge around strategy. So we're excited about having Leslie continue her journey with ENSPRA.
That is great. That proves the old adage, Leslie, never volunteer for anything. You're in for life. You're a life. Okay. Proves the old adage. Right? No rest for Leslie. Okay, it's that
no.
simple, and it's going to be a great year for you guys. What is the one, if you had to pick one thing, Barb, what's the one thing you're going to really focus on next year or this in
well,
3 weeks?
Well, we're doing some tactical improvements. We're going to be working on a new website and getting that launched in the spring. Of course, we're going to be putting together a fabulous seminar for next July in Chicago,
yep.
and the project I just mentioned, the Leadership Academy, we're going to be very focused
yeah, it's,
on
that's going to be good.
Together. So excited,
and if
excited
I can help
about
you,
what the year has ahead.
If we can help you in any way, please let us know, okay, with
oh,
our magazine and our websites.
That.
Please, you know that. Okay. Now, I have one last question. This is particularly for Leslie down in Tuscaloosa. Okay. Leslie, your current senator is Tom. You're at the home of the University of Alabama, correct? Tuscaloosa.
Yes.
And your current U.S. senator is Tommy Tuberville, the former coach at Auburn. Am I correct? So,
yes, he's
so
one of our senators,
is,
our senior senator is from he attended the University of Alabama and is from Tuscaloosa.
Who is that? It's not Shelby, is it Shelby?
Yeah, it's Shelby. There are lots of things named after Senator Shelby in town. That's a funny.
But he's going to be. I think is he retiring this year?
Yeah, there's a primary going on right now to see who will succeed him.
Exactly. So Senator Tuberville, will become your senior senator. And I'm curious, and this is the question, has Tuscaloosa seceded from Alabama due to this particular situation? Okay, where the coach of Auburn is your senator. I don't understand this. Help me. What's going on?
No, right? You know, we're fortunate in Tuscaloosa to have good relationships with Washington, D.C. You know, Senator Shelby has been instrumental in bringing some huge projects to Tuscaloosa that have made our community better, and our governor has been championing bringing more business to the state of Alabama, so I would expect that Senator Tuberville would continue more of the same. We've had a recent shift. Our largest city in the state of Alabama has shifted with the last census, and that's in Huntsville, Alabama, where you have a lot of the aerospace industry, maybe
oh,
from
yeah.
the Space
you
and Rocket
space
Center
camp.
That's up there.
Space Camp.
Yep, Space Camp. So I would anticipate, and I believe Google or Facebook, one of them now has an outfit up in Huntsville. So I would anticipate seeing the demand for making sure that Alabama has what it needs to push forward, be an attractive place for business to continue. And, you know, of course, that would be hoping that our senators, the junior and the senior senators to come, would continue to champion those types of business environments.
And with that statement, ladies and gentlemen, Leslie Brunton is announcing her candidacy for the U.S. Senate. Am I correct? That was very well said.
No, okay. I'm afraid not. I do like Washington. I have enjoyed it when I've gone to visit.
There
but,
you go.
You know,
I'm telling you, it's starting to perk. It's starting to perk. Okay,
yep,
and you forgive Senator Tuberville. You forgive him. For the Auburn,
you know,
it
was a fleeting moment. Everyone has chapters in their lives.
That's right. His mistaken Auburn years, and That'll go over big in your campaign. Okay, very good. Les, good. You did a great job, and we'll be talking more. You're not out of the picture, believe me. Okay, so thank you for everything you've done for school communications this past year. And Barb, just continue along.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having us. Oh, believe me, my pleasure. Both of you have a great day. Stay safe, and we'll talk again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Everybody, that's future Senator Leslie Brunton. Only kidding. Okay. PR Director of Tuscaloosa City Schools down in Alabama. Okay. And she's leaving her wonderful year of presidency of NSPRA. And by the way, learn what they do at NSPRA.org. Barb continues, always doing a great job as executive director over there. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Check out what we do at seltoday.org, our newest site. Thanks for listening.